We're continuing within Torah Ayin Beis in Likutei Moran Tanina. This is the third shiur that we're having on this chapter, which means obviously if you didn't hear the first two, you're at a slight disadvantage, but we'll try to summarize in short what we've said so far in this Torah. Rabbi Nizal said that just to see a tzaddik emes is also a very, very special item. Certainly, when a person is privileged to listen to Divrei Torah, to hear Divrei Torah from him, that's better and it's more important. But just seeing him alone is also something very special. Because in the act of seeing a tzaddik, Rabbi Nizal says that tzaddik transmits gedula to the person. He shines into the person authority, leadership, greatness. And Rabbi Nizal says, this greatness, what's the main greatness? Shiflus, modesty, humbleness. Just as we find the Gemara says about Hashem, b'mokoyim sh'atamoytzei gedulasoi, shom atamoytzei anvesanusoi, that whenever we discuss the greatness of Hashem, we're also discussing the modesty and humbleness of Hashem, whether it was when it came to Hashem creating mankind. And the Pasuk says, Hashem said, na'aseh odom, let us make man. This is an invention out of all the inventions that were ever made in the world. Certainly, this is the most unbelievable, the creation of a human being, so complex and so high level a being. And at this most outstanding moment, kaviyachal, in the career of Hashem, usually a person gets that great an inventor, that great a scientist, the clouds aren't big enough for him to be able to hold his head down in terms of saying, I did this, I made this, that I. And when it comes to Hashem, we see Hashem said, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. In other words, referring to himself and the Malachim, even though he certainly wasn't soliciting their help at all or their guidance whatsoever, which wasn't necessary at all. And yet this is part of the anivus of Hashem that shines through in many, many places in the Torah where the greatness of Hashem is being presented. So Rabbi Nizal says that when a tzaddik looks at somebody, he transmits this gedula, this shiflus, to the person. And Rabbi Nizal discussed the hisnoitetzis hamoichin that takes place. When a tzaddik looks at a person, he triggers off that person's brain, he gets it started working. And Rabbi Nizal explained, based on psukim, how that comes about. Then Rabbi Nizal mentioned the term moyach kloli, moyach proti, a general mind, and an independent, a specific brain, and how all the individual brains draw from this moyach kloli, which is the tzaddik emes. And then Rabbi Nizal discussed the example of Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, where we see by Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to establishing a hierarchy of leadership for Klal Yisrael, the pasuk says, "Vi'ato secheze mikolom anshei chayil yirei lekim soine botza." That Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Va'ato secheze, you will look and select leaders for the people." Question is, why look? What would we think? He would do it blindfolded? Why does the pasuk make an issue out of saying "Vi'ato secheze"? That the act of a tzaddik looking at people alone, with his look, he's transmitting this authority, this leadership, this malchus. And we spoke about this a lot in the past two shiurim. We're going to continue from where we left off, and the part that we're going to do today is also an entity unto itself. Rabbi Nizal says, Avol zeh hamanhig tzorech sheyihyeh porush godol bikdusha gedola. This leader of Klal Yisrael that we're referring to, who is on such a level that just by looking at people alone, he transmits to them this greatness, this gedula, this malchus, this manhig has to be a very great porush. Porush means separation, a person that keeps himself separate in terms of association with women specifically. A person who's extraordinarily religious when it comes to the association between men and women. We know that every single yid has certain restrictions, certain limitations that Hashem has established in terms of what's permissible and what's forbidden in terms of contact between men and women. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Man tzadik, man denotar bris. The Zohar Kodesh says, we know that different leaders in Klal Yisrael were given different titles. Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Avraham Avinu. Each one has a title that's suitable for them. The Zohar Kodesh says, when we use the term tzaddik in Judaism, what is that referring to specifically? Man denotar bris, a person who is shomer habris, a person who keeps this bris kodesh, the covenant, in terms of the association between men and women, on the purest level, on the holiest level. Now we know that in Shulchan Aruch itself, even in Or HaChaim, which is unusual, there's a whole section of the Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezer, which has many, many chapters, hundreds of pages, that's dedicated to all the laws in terms of association between men and women, and yet we find that even within Or HaChaim, the last chapter, that's called Hilchas Tznius, deals with many, many laws that pertain to the association in terms of purity between man and woman, boy and girl, even husband and wife. A person would think, we know the Gemara says in Adorim that there were two schools of thought. The Gemara says, one rabbi says that once a person is married, he's free to do as he wishes with his wife within the boundaries of the law of the Torah, which means we know that there are certain times that contact is forbidden, and there are many, many laws that govern how they conduct themselves during that time. But in terms of the time that contact is permissible, a person might think that everything goes, there's no limitations. And the Gemara says that one of the other rabbis said that the whole purity of a person, the whole success of a person in Yiddishkeit, in maintaining the oils of the body that fuel the brain, that fuel the light of the mind, is all dependent on how much a person limits his contact with women, even with his own wife. We know the Torah says, Al tarbe sicho im ho isha. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that when it comes to talking to women, the Gemara says it usually doesn't lead to good things. That's not just strange women, but even one's own wife. A person has to know that the talking has to be with seichel, that just talking stam silliness could lead to no good. This is what the Torah says. Al tar besichem ho isha, the woman, which means even one's own wife. And again, the Gemara says that when it comes to this item specifically, in terms of relations between husband and wife, the Gemara says there exists a certain part of the body, which usually we say that the nature of the muscles of the body is, the more they're used, the stronger they get. Not the weaker they get used up. The stronger, the more the muscle is used, the better it's developed. Whether it be the heart, a person does aerobic exercises which causes the heart to pump a lot faster, better, this strengthens the heart. Whether it be the muscles of the hands, the feet, again, the more a person is using them, the stronger and better they're getting. The brain, lahavdil, also, the more you use it, the more you pour into it, it doesn't get more tired and weak. On the contrary, you build up an endurance in terms of the brain to be able to accept knowledge and wisdom and retain. There's one part of the body, the Gemara says, where mar ivoi, the more a person starves it, the healthier it is. And that's specifically when it comes to the bris kodesh, when it comes to relations between men and women. This item specifically, the Torah says, there is a zechus, there is a reward that's given to a person who limits within whatever is considered acceptable for a person on his level, wherever he's holding in Yiddishkeit or in knowing where he's at in life, a person placing a limit on this item, the Gemara says this strengthens the person physically, spiritually, in all ways.
What about the wife?
She certainly is given a reward if she supports his trying to come close to Hashem. She certainly is a part of it. Now, there are laws in Shulchan Aruch that govern how a husband determines what's obligation, what's not obligation. Meaning, for example, the Torah tells us that if a wife demands this item, that's grounds for divorce. Not just if she demands, but if she mentions it openly, if she just says this item, that again is referring to relations between husband and wife. Asking for this in an open way, is considered to be a chutzpah. She's considered an isha chutzefes, chas v'shalom, and that's considered grounds for divorce, chas v'shalom. Meaning, there has to be a tznius. There has to be a respectability when it comes to this item, a certain privateness, a certain humbleness in terms of how we go about it. At the same time, the Gemara says there's no allowance for a husband to be a dummy either. If a husband sees that his wife's feelings are strong for him, he's not permitted to close his eyes to that. On the contrary, he must provide her as a husband. No question, 100%. So here there are laws in the Torah. There is a chapter in the Shulchan Aruch that gives a lot of advice on this item based on the Gemara. And all these Sifrei Musar, the Reishis Chochma, the other Sforum, are filled with pages and pages of advice and guidance for a person to know. You want to succeed in life. You want to really enjoy life. We'll show you how to do it. Because a person sometimes thinks, I'll have more and it'll be better. And there's a concept of Oysher Shomor Leba'olav Lira Osoy. There's a concept of a person, there's a wealth that's waiting for a person to kill him, Chas V'Shalom. So now Rabbi Nazal says, this manhig, this leader that we're talking about, Tzorech Sheyihye Porush Godoil Bikdusha Gedoila. He has to be exceptional in terms of separating himself when it comes to this item, placing more restrictions on himself than the average person. The Oz Dafka Hu Yochoy Lihiyos Manig Yisrael. And then, and only then, can he be a true leader of Klal Yisrael. Kalidei Prishusoy Ugdushosei Agdoila, through his Prishus and his Kiddusha, his holiness, he's capable of looking and observing each and every single Jew, and to distribute authority and leadership just with his look alone. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ato secheze, you will look. And that's what will establish the hierarchy, the leadership of Klal Yisrael. The Alkein, and therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehoyo Kodosh Uporush Godol Ma'oid, Al Pi Adibur, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was exceptional in this respect, in terms of separating himself from his wife, Al Pi Adibur, through the instruction of Hashem, K'moshe Kosev, as the Pasuk says, V'ato Poi Amoid Imodi, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you remain here with me. We know that all the Yidden, when it came to Kabbalah Satayra, when it came to receiving the Torah and Harsin, they were obligated to abstain from associating with their wives for 3 days. This was a preparation for Matan Torah. Question is, what does one have to do with the other? The answer is, Hashem says that part of what's needed to prepare your brain to be able to receive the holiness of the Torah is a limiting in this item, a limiting in contact with women, even with one's own wife. So here the Torah says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, now that the Jews have received the Torah, they are permitted to go back to their wives. V'ato, whereas you, poi amoy dimodi, you remain here with me. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu's closeness to the Shekhinah was on such a high level that in a sense it would have been considered bigamy if he would retain his contact with his physical wife, Tzipora. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish Ho'elikim in the Torah. Ish means the master of, the husband of, Ho'elikim, the Shekhinah itself. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the husband of the Shekhinah. That's how close his contact with Hashem was. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was capable of looking at the Yidden, ulechalik lohem hagdula, and to distribute to them this leadership. Vizehu v'ato sechze, ato daiko. This is why Yisroel said, you look at the Jews and distribute this leadership. Ki rak Moshe, shehoyo porush godoil ma'oid, bikdusha gedoila, zoiche lehistaklus hazois. It's only a Moshe Rabbeinu who was so exceptional in this precious, he had this type of look. Ki histaklus hazois, b'chinas v'ato sechze, hi tluyo rak bikdusha precious mitaiva zois. Because this tight for a person to rise to such a level where with his look, his eyes alone, are able to shine into people authority, leadership, command, that look is dependent on this precious. V'zeh b'chinas, Rabbi Nazal says, this is what's hinted to in a posik in Malachim. The posik there is talking about Achav. Achav was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and the Torah tells us that there were two prophets that came to him, two Nevi'im came to him, and they told him that Hashem is going to fix you. Eliyahu Navi was one of them. Eliyahu Navi told him that when you die, the dogs are going to lick up your blood. And the second Navi was Michoihu. He also came to him, and he told him also a Nevuah regarding the fact that he was going to die in battle, and his life was not going to end on a happy note. So the Torah tells us that when Achav was killed, Vahazoinois Rochatsu. That's the wording in the Pasuk, Vahazoinois Rochatsu. And there's many interpretations as to what this refers to. Rashi HaKodesh says, Zoinois refers to Zion, clay Zion, that the blood, his blood was spilled with such quantity that they were able to wash their clay Zion, to wash their swords and everything in his blood, the soldiers that were there at the time. Another interpretation is V'dorsh Razal, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Lemarek Shtei Chezyoinois, that the word Vahazoinois here refers to Chezyoinois. The He and the Ches are almost identical in Hebrew. There's a tiny little difference between them. That this was to bring to light two visions, two prophecies that were said about him, that were said about Achav. Hainu Rabbi Nazal says, Kifi ma'asheroichitz na'atzmon mitai vozois, according to how much a person cleanses himself from this taivo, b'chinas v'hazoinois rochatsu, he cleans himself from this item of znus or any impurity at all whatsoever in dealings between men and women. Dahainu sheroich tzenatzmo mitai vazu, a person cleanses himself from this desire. Kemoikein hu memarek umetzachtzeach shtei chezyoinois. So too, he brings to light and he gives a shine to these chezyoinois. The look, chizoyin means, chazoin means the look of, the vision of. Bechinas v'atos secheseh. This refers to this power of v'atos secheseh, the power of the tzaddik to look at a person and to shine into him this authority, this leadership. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, chozis ish moher b'malachtoi. Look at a person who's very quick in what he has to do. He's very fast in getting done what he has to get done. The Gemara says this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are two looks that we're talking about here. Shtei chesyonos. There's the tzaddik looking at the person through which he transmits to that person leadership and authority. And so too, there's the concept of v'hoyu einecho royois esmoirecho. The mitzvah of the Talmud to look at the tzaddik, or this chozis ish mor b'malachtoi, looking, where the Torah tells us to look at this person who's very fast about his work in terms of serving Hashem. Dahainu b'chinas histaklus anal. This refers to the histaklus we spoke about before. Rabbi Nazal says, ki ikar histaklus anal hu al yidei kedusha uprishus mitai vazu kanal. Because there's no question at all that the main success in terms, the main degree of success as to how successful a tzaddik is in being able to infuse into those that are attached to him this leadership, this authority of kedusha, is dependent on his precious from this taiva. Ki taiva zois hi bechinas pegam hoinayim, because we know that in the Torah it refers to this desire specifically, any wrong type of association between men and women, the Torah labels it as a pigam of the eyes, a problem with the eyes. Kemoshekosu, as the Pasuk says, V'loi sosuru achrei levavchem, v'acharei einechem, asher atem zoinim achareihem. That the znus is toloi bo'enayim, the whole purity of a man, in terms of closeness to Hashem on this item, is dependent on avoiding looking where he's not supposed to look. That's the key. The Alkanim, therefore, so we see an association between the power of a tzaddik's eyes to be able to transmit what it has to transmit, based on limiting its intake of what it's not supposed to take in. V'alkein sorech lekadesh atzmai biyoser beprishes godel mizayis hatayva. Therefore, the tzaddik who wants to be able to accomplish this has to be able to limit himself in an extraordinary way in terms of this desire. V'oz yeshloi einayin zakim, and then the tzaddik acquires pure eyes. Lachsois ulehistakel velitein hagdula lekolechot koroi loy aldehistaklusei levad kanal, to be able to look at people and to distribute to them this greatness, each one according to his level, just with the tzaddik's look alone. V'oz dafko hu yochoi liyos maneg Yisrael kanal, and then and only then is he worthy of being a maneg Yisrael. Ukeshein li Yisrael manig umashkiach kozeh, and Rabbi Nizal says, when the Yidden don't have this type of leader, when those that are in position of leadership and authority of Klal Yisrael are not ones who are outstanding in this area, be'emes kol ha'olam me'urvav u'mevulvol, then the fact of the matter is that the whole world, the whole Jewish world, is in total confusion. V'chol haroitz elitel es Hashem noitel, and anybody wants to get up and be a boss, be a leader, gets up and does his thing. Kemoi shemisnahig achshav bavoneseinu arabim, as is the case nowadays. This is written in the 1700s, when this was already starting to happen, when the leadership of Klal Yisrael was going down, when there were people who were rising into positions of leadership, whether it be in Reform Judaism, conservative, or even within Orthodox, that weren't worthy of this mantle of leadership. The Zohar Kodesh says that we say in Eicha, Hoyu Tzoreho L'Roish, that one of the worst sufferings, one of the worst curses that Hashem says is going to come true before the coming of Moshiach is that Hoyu Tzoreho, the enemies of the Jews, will be L'Roish, will be their leaders, meaning that those that will be in a position, the greatest position of authority, whether it be in terms of funding for Moistos of Klal Yisrael, whether it be in terms of government, etc., will be Tzoreho, those that impose suffering on the Jews, those who they themselves are not religious, or they don't show the proper respect for the things they're supposed to show respect to. And this is the worst suffering, because the whole direction that Klal Yisrael takes naturally is dependent on the leaders. The leaders have the biggest say and the biggest contribution in terms of determining what happens. Ki Yisrael tzrichim sheyia lehem mashkiach, because Klal Yisrael needs supervision, that there should be a supervisor sheyashgiach v'yira bohem sheyamoy kolecho al mekoymoy haroy lebemes. There should be somebody overseeing the Klal Yisrael and seeing to it that each and every person is in his proper place, in his proper position. He's at his post, making his contribution to Klal Yisrael. V'hamashgiach hazeh yihyeh porush v'kodosh godol. And this mashgiach, this supervisor, has to be an unusual porush. Bebechinas kedushas uprishus Moshe, on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, one who's capable of of keeping himself so reserved and so pure in terms of the association between men and women. Va'oz yochoy lahaneg es Yisrael litein l'cholechot gedula koroi loy, then he's capable of leading Bnei Yisrael and giving each person the proper authority, the proper greatness, al yidei ha'histaklus levad, just with his look alone. Now, naturally, if this is what determines the giving, then the receiving also is dependent on this. Each and every person who wants to receive words of Torah from tzaddikim or from learning, there's no question at all that what determines the quality of the keli, of that person's receptacle to receive the light of the Torah, is their purity in this item, in terms of how pure a person conducts himself in following the laws of the Torah, which begin from the eyes, in terms of a person being able to say to himself that this thing is appetizing to look at, it's desirous, why won't I look at it? Because Hashem said so, very simple. And therefore, as enjoyable as it is, I know that what I looked at 6 months ago or a year ago, I certainly don't remember. It's a fleeting pleasure. The pleasure is seconds. And the effects are eternal. Literally, a person goes against Hashem. Hashem said, don't look. Don't look at women that are dressed improperly. Don't look bechlal, to avoid looking with any wrong intent at women. The Gemara says, if a person looks at the pinky of a woman for the wrong reason, or allowing himself to dwell on it where it could arouse bad thoughts, chas v'shalom, the Gemara says he's breaking a major law, period. So here, there's no question at all that what determines a person's keli in being worthy of receiving the Torah in a beneficial way, in a constructive way, is how pure a person keeps himself on this item.
It's a very nice woman. So he will ask himself one question and he will be okay. He'll say, I want this woman, or maybe I want the things that brought this woman. Because he made this woman. So why should I look upon this woman? I want to be connected to this that brought this woman.
100%. That's
why it will be easy for him to not to desire her.
That's why the Zohar HaKadosh says that there's one time Rabbi Shimon Yochai was walking with his Talmidim, so they were walking and there was a woman walking in front of them. So he said to them, let's hurry up, let's get in front of her, because the Pasuk says, Al Tifnu El Ho'elilim, that you're not supposed, we should not turn to look at idols. Question is, what's the association between an idol and a woman? And the answer is that both of them represent an item. In other words, if people have any respect for any idol, or those people that used to worship the sun, or this or that, what's the point? How is it feasible for anybody to worship anything other than Hashem? The answer is, because Hashem put something into that item, whether it was a beauty or a power, a strength, a light, something in it that made that item special, outstanding, that to such an extent that people were willing to humble themselves to that, to worship that item. So too in terms of women, this beauty that's found there, where is it coming from? It's coming from Hashem. If a person worships it for it itself, that's considered, that constitutes idol worship. Literally, you're separating, you're distinguishing between the beauty of Hashem versus a beauty that he transmitted to something else. But here again, a person has to be very careful, because we are not necessarily on a level to be thinking this way. Therefore, the advice of the Torah for people on our level is, don't look. Avoid looking as much as possible. That's the healthier approach.
You said that the Yid before Matan Torah had to separate from the wives 3 days. Doesn't it say that when a person gets his full neshama, it's when he's together with his wife?
When he's married. When a person gets married, that's when his neshama is completed. But once he's married already, that's not to say that if he separates from his wife, he loses any part of that neshama. Chas v'shalom. It's only if they separate, chas v'shalom, if there's a divorce or something like that, then yes. But not any temporary separation. No way. This is the point that I was making. That there's no question at all that the tzaddik that's giving the light, there's no question that he has to be Porosh Gotel B'Kedusha Ma'id. The ones that are receiving, according to how much they want to receive, that's how pure they have to be. There's no question that according to how pure a person is, that's what determines how pure his Keli is to be able to receive. Now, Rabbi, because we're, what's the point? Why? We know that, for example, the Torah says, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, that the peak of wisdom is fear of Hashem. And we know that there are many, many qualities that are written about the Torah. The Gemara says that the study of Torah makes a person humble, it makes a person kind, all kinds of good things that it gives to a person. The question is, we know that there are many people who study Torah and they're crooks. the Torah shines an armenius into them, a crookedness where these people use their knowledge in a negative way, in a destructive way. And the more they learn, the more arrogant they become, the more they're not able to talk to people in any respectful way or to associate with people. The question is, where does that come from? The answer is, the Gemara says that when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was presenting it to Bnei Yisrael, we say, V'zois HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. It doesn't say, V'zois HaTorah Asher Limeid Moshe. V'zois HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. Why is the word Sam used? The Gemara says the word Sam refers to Sam. The word Sam in Hebrew means medicine, Sam Chaim, and the word Sam also means poison. The Gemara says that Hashem has designed the Torah in such a way that this light can either be a light of life or, chas v'shalom, a fire of destruction. This light of the Torah could go into a person, and the more Torah he learns, the worse he gets in terms of every type of midorah that exists. Now the question is, what determines that? The answer is very simple. The type of receptacle that the person has, the type of keli that that person has prepared, that's what determines. Once this light goes into his brain, whether the light takes on a constructive form, a positive form, or the opposite. What determines it? One of these items is Tikkun HaBris, specifically. Now the question is, if that's the case, then are we implying that if a person is not pure, he's better off not learning? In other words, what if a person's not pure? Then he can't go to anybody to learn from him, because the learning itself is going to be damaging him. If he's at minus 20, he's going to learn a page of Torah, he's going to go down to minus 25, minus 30, and so on and so forth. The answer is, Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos, the only solution for such a person is a person who realizes that his keli is pogum, that he has not been totally pure in this item or in other areas of Yiddishkeit. Such a person, the only course of action that he has possible, available to him, is to put, if he recognizes that his brain is pogum, then take your brain and put it in a box and lock the box up real tight and accept upon yourself that you're not going to use your own brain. You're going to use the brain of a tzaddik to think with, the brain attaching oneself to a tzaddik, to a Talmud Chacham, and I'm going to use his brain. If I acknowledge that my brain is lacking, it's pogum, until I get myself fixed up, until I get myself up to par, for me to use my own brain, I'm taking a risk that it's going to mislead me. I'm going to twist things, I'm going to distort them, and they're going to take on a negative form for me. It's going to hurt me. It's going to take me further away from Hashem. Then rather than do that, I'm going to be mevatel my own das, I'm going to nullify my own thinking to the thinking of a tzaddik, of a Talmud Chacham, or a Sefer in Torah, a Shulchan Aruch, something like that. I'm going to close my own mind completely and accept upon myself what it says here, regardless of whether I understand it fully or not right now. I realize that once I'll get my act together and I'll fix up everything that has to be fixed up in terms of my actions, in terms of my deeds, then my brain will be usable. Then I'll be in a position to be able to work with it and feel confident that it's not going to lead me, it's not going to mislead me.
Yeah, is it possible to distinguish the actual Torah learning that such a person would do to the way he acts, or the way he thinks? Is the Torah itself, in and of itself, worth something? Even though the guy, for argument's sake, if I'm using a mushkis, the guy just loves to learn. He'll get up every morning, won't wash Shangalvas and all whatnot, he won't do tefillin, he'll sit on Shabbat with a cigar, just to learn. The guy's a god.
The answer is, the Gemara discusses this item in a positive light and a negative light. The Gemara says that a person who studies the Torah, sheloi lishmo, meaning not for the sake of keeping the mitzvahs, toivloi sheloi nivra mishenivra, it's better that the person wasn't born at all whatsoever, better that that person wasn't created. That's the kind of insulting comment that's made about him. Then in another place in the Gemara says that if a person wants to study Torah Shelo Lishma, we say fine, good, because Shemitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma, because he'll start off learning Torah not with intent to keep its mitzvahs and to do the right thing and everything. And from that, it'll lead him into Lishmo. He'll find his way, the light of the Torah will lead him to change and to become good. So Tosfos, in a few places in Shas, asks this question, this contradiction. Wherever this item is brought, Tosfos asks, what's going on? In one place, the Gemara seems to say that if a person is going to learn Shaloi Lishma, he's better off dead. And in other places, it seems to say, no, if you want to learn Shaloi Lishma, fine, great, because it's going to lead you to good. Tosfos says that there are two types of Loi Lishma. If a person is learning Loi Lishma, meaning he knows his emunah in Hashem right now is not that great. In terms of really believing that there's a Gan Eden and this and that and everything, he doesn't really believe it that strongly. And or he has personal taivos, he has a desire for kavod. He likes when people say, oh, this guy's very intelligent, he studies all day. That he likes to have that kind of thing said about him, and that's his motive for learning. That type of person, the Gemara says, better that he should learn, even Shaloi Lishma, because he'll start out like that, and then the Torah itself will turn him around. It'll make a Superman out of him. Versus a person who goes into it from the start, that I have no intent whatsoever of allowing this item to change me in any way. On the contrary, part of my reason for learning is to show all of those nuts that this is all baloney, that this is all nonsense. Such a person, the Torah says, you should know every minute that he learns, he's burying himself deeper. There's no question at all. Now there's no question that Limud alone, without Maisa, is tremendously lacking, because the Gemara says, V'loy ha-medrash o'ikar ela ha-maisa. When it comes to religion, knowledge alone is very, very little, because the whole tachlis of the knowledge is kiyum, to be able, that it should improve you, that whatever you're going to learn about humbleness, this, that, you're going to seek to change yourself, to improve yourself, to incorporate it into your actions. That's called learning. Anything other than that isn't really learning. It's algebra, it's something else. It's not the wisdom of Torah. The purpose of Torah is intended to carve out a Superman. Any person who's going to take this knowledge into himself for the purpose of self-improvement, he's going to see that he's going to become unusual. He's going to become a type of person who could look at something that another person couldn't resist if he tried, and this person looks at it and laughs. What are you kidding? I'm going to let a sultan lead me by the nose and say, eat this, touch that, look at this. He's going to tell me what to do, or I'm in total control of myself. I know when I sit down to a table, this is how much I need to eat to get full. Just because something looks tasty, that's going to force me to eat it, even though I'm going to get indigestion from it, even though I'm going to get fat from it, etc. No way. This type of quality is something that the Torah is intended to shine into a person. When you discuss an item in learning and you see that after the learning this person has no intent of incorporating any of the learning into his daily actions, then you know that there's a problem there. Now it's a matter of looking why. What is it? Is it a weakness on his part? Or is it a lahachis, that the person he's arrogant and he feels that this is all baloney nonsense and he's just learning it because it's cute, but he has no intent whatsoever of keeping it?
Let's say if you have a person coming, is praying, you know, everything he's doing, is he pray in the morning, in the night,
right,
you know,
right.
Everything. But I think there is one thing, what I think is in my eyes, that is that if a man, he always want to find negative things in the other persons, this is the man that you must be very, very careful of. Which means, if everyone, he sees this, oh, you don't do this good, oh, you don't, and he doesn't say it just to change you to make good, but just to, you know, to insult you or not.
No question. Rabbeinu Zal told, the story, the Maisa the Baal Tefila, where he speaks about 10 unusual types of people, 10 groups of people. One of them who felt that murder was the tachlis in life, that the greatest accomplishment in life was killing. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, this refers to Balei Machlokes. There are certain people where you see that this person thrives off trouble, finding faults with people and stirring up riv, mecharchei riv. There's no question at all that that's the furthest thing from a tzaddik. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, who's one of the most extreme examples of a tzaddik, what was unique about him? That even when Klal Yisrael was at their lowest low, after they had worshipped the Egel Azov, the golden calf, he was able to stand before Hashem and defend them. Vayechal Moshe espanei Hashem alikov. The question is, how do you defend Rishoyim, but Gemurim, super Rishoyim? The answer is, he understood that in Klal Yisrael there is no such thing as Rishoyim Gemurim. There's no Jew who can destroy that pintle of good, an akuda toiva that's inside of him, period. And he was able to identify it, to see it in each person, and to build it up. Let's continue. I want to try to cover some ground also. Rabbi Nazal says, "Val yedei zeh nase tshuva." Through everything we've discussed so far, through this type of manhig, who's dealing with people and shining into them this histaklus, this gedula, this shiflus, through all of this, there is brought about tshuva. Why? Rabbi Nazal explains now, "Ki ikar ha-tshuva hi al yedei ha-busha." When we talk about a person really doing tshuva, what's the main ingredient that's needed to constitute a true tshuva? Busha, embarrassment. A person feeling honestly embarrassed about what they did wrong. V'alidei zeh hamanig, and through this type of leader, b'chinas Moshe, shehu mistakel b'kol echad v'echad, he looks at every person, u'misnoitz etz moichoi, and he illuminates their minds, v'zoich l'biurei ha-toiro, d'haino l'chidushin d'ayraiso, and these people are zoich l'biurei ha-toiro, chidushin d'ayraiso, as we explained last week, that when he causes their brains to start functioning, each and every person is able to find what part of the Torah he is able to be mechadishin. Al yedei zeh nimshach busha al kol echad v'yechad. Then each and every single yid is zeichet to have upon himself a busha, a feeling of shame and embarrassment. Va'azai roye kol echad es bushto yochlimosai. Then each and every single yid recognizes his shame, his embarrassment. Why? Now, what is this referring to? Rabbi Nazal explains now a beautiful item related to tshuva. People think normally that tshuva, busha, is only associated with averos. Rabbi Nazal now is going to talk about busha associated with a mitzvah, a concept of tshuva associated with a mitzvah. Rabbi Nazal explains, ki avero hi bevadai busha gedoyla. If a Jew commits a sin, he actually goes against the command of Hashem, that certainly is a tremendous shame and embarrassment to that person, that he allowed himself to be led like a yo-yo by this malach, by this sotan, this person who knows that doing an aveira is going to get him fried, burned in Gehenim, a heat that's 60 times hotter than the hottest type of flame that exists in this world, and it's an eternity, chas v'shalom, everything, and the guy goes ahead and does it anyway. There's nothing more embarrassing to a person than that. Ki aveiro eino ruya klal Yisrael. Because aveirois are certainly not suitable for yidden. It's ridiculous for a yid to commit an aveiro. Ubevadai ein noe klal Yisrael shiye lo aveiro chas v'shalom. And certainly it's very not appropriate, sepasnished, for a yid to have an aveiro chas v'shalom. Avol gam mitzvah, but Rabbi Nazal says, even when it comes to a mitzvah, kisheroitzin lasos eiz a mitzvah, when a yid is about to do a mitzvah, he wants to do a mitzvah, roi sheyi eloi gam kein busha gedoyla. It's also fitting that the person should feel a very, very high level of embarrassment. What embarrassment about what? Ki eize zechus yeshloi sheyizke lasos hamitzvah. What makes you worthy of doing a mitzvah, fulfilling a mitzvah? V'yishaya bedatoi, the person should, v'eich yoiz ponov likones behechal amelech la'aseis mitzvah. How dare you have the chutzpah to enter into the throne room of the king in doing a mitzvah? We know that a mitzvah brings a person very close to Hashem. Which person feels worthy of standing that close to this infinite purity, to this infinite light of Hashem? V'yishayar bedatoi lifnei mi huoysa mitzvah. And if the person starts thinking and evaluating before whom he's doing this mitzvah, v'gam goydel milas hamitzvah v'yatzma, and how special, how unbelievably special and great is every mitzvah, ki hamitzvah bi'atzmo yekora ma'oid asher ein l'shayer, because a mitzvah itself is so great, we have no concept at all how great a mitzvah is. The Tikkuni Zohar says, you want to know how great a mitzvah is? A mitzvah is Hashem itself. A mitzvah is a piece of Hashem, kaviyochol. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that this word mitzvah is a secret code for the name of Hashem. We know that one of the codes that's used in the Gemara, in Sifrei Kodesh, is the code of Atbash, where we exchange the first letter of the Aleph Beis with the last letter, the second from the beginning with the second from the end. Aleph becomes a Tav, Beis becomes a Shin, so on and so forth. In Atbash, the letters Mem and Tzadik become Yud and Hey. So that the word mitzvah, if we slice it in half, the vav hey is the last two letters of Hashem's name. The mem and tzadik is actually yud kei in reverse, the opposite end of the alphabet. So that when a person is doing a mitzvah, kaviyochol, he's merging with Hashem. He's taking Hashem onto himself. A lulav esrig dalet minim, this is the presence. The presence of Hashem is found in there in a much more concentrated way than any other place in the world. Tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, mikvah, each one of these mitzvahs has Hashem in it in an unbelievable way. So Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ubevadai roi sheyipoil olav busha gedoyla kishebo lasei says a mitzvah," and therefore it's certainly very normal and very appropriate, very fitting for a person to feel a very, very big degree of busha, of shame and embarrassment when he goes to do a mitzvah. When he looks at himself, when the person looks at himself, and he sees how far he is from Hashem, and what zechus does he have? What merit does he have to be deserving of doing a mitzvah? And if the person had this shame, if a person really had this midah of busha, he would be embarrassed to put a spoonful of food into his mouth. Why? Because the Yerushalmi says, "Kiman de ochil de lav delay bohis listakule biape." The Yerushalmi says that the nature of a human being is, when he's sitting at his own table eating his own food, he doesn't feel embarrassed. When he's a guest in somebody else's house, when you're getting a free meal, free food, somebody else is feeding you, there is a certain degree of shame, embarrassment in knowing that you're receiving a gift. It's not yours. Somebody else is giving you. You feel humbled. You feel lower. You feel a little embarrassed. You can't sit and look that guy in the eye as an equal if you're on the receiving end. He's giving and you're receiving his meal. Therefore, if a Jew looks at himself and sees that he's not that religious, he's not that bigot tzaddik, and therefore he's not really deserving that Hashem should give him a steak dinner with steak and potatoes and the whole thing, a big beautiful meal, al kein bevada yeshloi lehizbayesh afilu lohishit hamaycha lefiv. Such a person should be too embarrassed to put a spoon of food into his mouth. He's ashamed, embarrassed, because if I worked for it, I earned it, I feel deserving of it, I'm religious, I'm a tzaddik, and I deserve, Hashem should provide for me, then I feel comfortable eating. If I realize how far I am from the madrega of tzaddik, or from being good, then I don't deserve this. Like, it's not that I've earned this at all. And if I'm being given it, it's a freebie. It's a gift from Hashem. It's not that I bought this food. I bought it with my mitzvahs, with my ma'asim tovim. It's freebie. Freebie, a person should feel embarrassed, a certain tinge of embarrassment when he puts that spoon into his mouth. But Rabbeinu Zal says the true measure of this shame and embarrassment is only gotten via that leader, that manig, Bechinas Moshe, Shemamshich Biurei HaTorah L'Kol Echod. He's the one who draws Biurei HaTorah, explanations of Torah, to each and every one of his Talmidim. Vaydeze Nimshach Busho Al Kol Echod. And by shining Torah into his students, he also shines this embarrassment, this shame into them. What's the association? Just as when the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai, Shehim Sheikh Moshe HaTorah LiYisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu drew the Torah to the Yidden from Hashem, Nemar Shom, the Pasuk says over there, Uleva Avur Tihye Yerosai Al Panechem Levilti Techtoi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know why Hashem went through with this whole ceremony of Matan Torah on Har Sinai? In order that the Yidden should have the fear of Hashem on their faces, so that they should not commit a sin. V'dor Shrazal, the Gemara says in the Dorim, what's this Yerosai Al Panechem? Zu Habusha. This means a certain feeling of embarrassment that a Jew has on his face. When did they receive this? At Matan Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them, was communicating them to the Torah, along with the Torah that he was transmitting to them, he was shining into them this Midas Habusha, this attribute of shamefulness. The Gemara says, how do you identify a Yid? Three qualities, Baishonim, Rachmonim, and Goimlei Chasodim. One of the distinguishing factors of a Jew from Lahavdil Agoy is that a Jew is a Baishon. He's shy. He's embarrassed. He doesn't walk around with that look like everybody owes him something, or he is owed, he feels deserving of what he has. On the contrary, a Jew always feels, I don't deserve everything that Hashem has blessed me with. I have a wife, I have children, I have a house, I have food to eat, I have clothing to wear. I know that I don't deserve any of this, or I certainly don't deserve as much good as I'm being shown. And therefore, he walks around with this embarrassment, with this humbleness, this good type of embarrassment. V'zeh levilti techto, and that's why the Pasuk says, not to commit sins. That part of the purpose of this busha, yir osay al panechem, the Gemara said was busha, levilti techtoi. Part of the purpose of this busha is so that you shouldn't do sins. If you're embarrassed before Hashem, you won't do a sin. Vegam, Rabbeinu Zal gives another twist to this, vegam levilti techto, livli lases avera, tzorech shiyagam ken yerosi alponov. When it comes to not doing an avera, a person also has to have this shame on his face, meaning, dahinu busha, meaning this shame. Ki afilu kishoisen mitzvah, tzorech shiyeloi gam ken busha gedoy lakanam. Because even when it comes to levilti techtoi, even when it comes to not doing sins, which means doing mitzvahs, there also a person has to have this yira al panechem, this busha, this feeling of embarrassment. Do I feel that I'm worthy of putting on a talis? What all the kedusha that's attributed to a talis is called all 613 mitzvahs wrapped up into one. And this has the Shekhinah inside of it and everything. Do I feel pure enough, holy enough to put on a talis? And yet I know that I'm commanded to, I'm told that as a Jew, I'm given this privilege. Therefore, when I do it, I have to feel this sense of embarrassment that I feel too small, too low to be worthy of doing this. Ki eich boim lachtoif hatfilin. How could a Jew come to grab hold of the tefillin? Shehem kisrei the malka. The Zohar HaKadosh refers to them as the crown of the king. Tefillin are called the crown of Hashem kaviyachol. Ulahanicham pisam al arosh. And just grab it and zap it on my head. Just lop it onto my head fast, without feeling this sense of embarrassment in doing it. Bevadai roi shiyeloi busha gedoyla. Certainly, it's proper for a person to feel ashamed when he's doing this, when he's putting on this pure crown on his head, which he knows is so lacking. V'zois habusha nimsheches ha'idei biurei ha'toyra ha'idei ha'manig hanal. And this embarrassment, how is it transmitted to a Yid? Through the biurei ha'toyra. that a leader, a true leader of Klal Yisrael, passes on to him, with the Biuri HaTorah comes this busha, this embarrassment. V'alkenen, kemoi shehoye b'shas matan Torah kanal, exactly as the Pasuk tells us, took place at Matan Torah. That along with the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitting to them, he was giving them this yirosei al paneichem, this busha. The Alkein, Rabbeinu Zal says, and therefore, b'shas matan Torah zochu kol Yisroel lebechinas kedusho precious. This is why we find that at the time of matan Torah, all the Jews were zeche to a high level of kedusha, of holiness and precious, abstention, separating from their wives. Kemo shekosev, as the pasuk says, heyu nechoinim l'shloishes yamim al tikshu alisha. Prepare yourselves for 3 days. Don't go near a woman. Ki kulam niskachu bebechinas precious aide Moshe shehaya kodoy shuporish kodoy. The entire Klal Yisrael received this holiness through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was so great a porush. Shehim shechlemes haTorah aide zekanal, that he was able to transmit to them the Torah through his precious, which gave them precious. The Alkein Nimshach Aleihem Kiddusha Precious Gamkein. Therefore, they received this Kiddusha and Precious also as a result of his holiness, as a result of his level. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Ukishezoichin Lebusha Azai Roye Kolechod Es Richukoy Mashem Yisborach Eichu Rochoik Moit Mimene Yisborach. When a person is Zoiche to this feeling of embarrassment, this honest feeling of embarrassment, where the person realizes he sees how far he is from Hashem, v'noifil olav busha gedayla, and this great shame and embarrassment falls upon him, v'yidei habusha oisen tshuva. This busha brings a person to wanting to fix himself, to wanting to improve, to wanting to change whatever needs changing and fixing in his life. Ki ikur hatshuva al yedei habusha, because we know that the main concept of a Jew doing tshuva is only triggered off when the person comes to a realization that he has what to be ashamed of, that he hasn't been as good as he's capable of being, that he hasn't fulfilled his potential in coming close to Hashem and feeling the presence of Hashem upon him. Utshuva hu bechinas chayim. We know that tshuva is referred to as life, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, veheshivu v'chiyu, return and live, Hashem says. Bechinas chayim nitzchiyim shel olam haba. This refers to the eternal life of olam haba, the world to come. Bechinas Shabbos, a concept of Shabbos. Bechinas toyameho chayim zochu. Just as the pasuk says about Shabbos, those that taste the Shabbos are zeche to true life. The word Shabbos is the same letters as boishes, embarrassment. A person that feels this embarrassment that leads to tshuva, again this beis shin tov, all of this is part of this chayim nitzchiyim, being zeche to this eternal life. V'habusha dahayinu bechinas tshuva. Hu bechinas Shabbos, bechinas chayim nitzchim shalom haba. This busha, I'm sorry, we skipped some lines. V'ze bereishis, Rabbeinu Zal says, this is the first word in the Torah, bereishis. The Tikkun HaZohar teaches us 70 chapters written on the word bereishis alone, showing how the entire Torah, all 613 mitzvahs, all the laws of Shulchan Aruch and everything are all found within that first word in the Torah, the word Bereishis. And part of what's written there is that the word Bereishis makes up the tzirufim Yorei Boishes, referring to a fear of Hashem that leads to this embarrassment, as Rashi says over there, Yirosei al Paneichem Zu HaBusha, the Gemara says, this Yira that leads to a Busha, and also Yorei Shabbos. The word Bereishis teaches us this mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. Shomoyer es yom haShabbos, having a fear, a respect for Shabbos. Ki hayira vahabusha, dahayinu bechinas tshuva, hu bechinas Shabbos, bechinas chayim mitzchim shalom haba. This fear and embarrassment, which leads to tshuva, this is a concept of Shabbos, a concept of eternal life. V'ikra chayim hu lahashif l'shel kol echad. And if you recall, we explained earlier that the true chayim nitzchim, the olam haba, will only relate to the humbleness of a person. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Ki beko Hashem tzur olamim, that Hashem created the two worlds, olamim, olam hazeh and olam haba, with the letters yud and hey. The letter hey was used to create olam hazeh. The letter yud was created was used to create olam haba, because yud is the smallest of the letters, to show that only those people that keep themselves small, humble, those are the ones that are going to be worthy of getting into olam haba. So this yira and this busha, which leads to tshuva, this is what gets a person into olam haba, into a place where the entrance fee is this humbleness that comes from this type of embarrassment that leads to a tshuva.